From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. We continue with our series, Creative Spaces, conversations that explore the places where artists find inspiration and how that environment helps get their juices flowing. Whether it's poetry or prose, writers often have precise rituals for putting their thoughts on paper.
Toni Morrison says she works best in the still hours before sunrise, writing in longhand with a pencil and yellow pad.
Gertrude Stein sometimes scribbled her poems on odd scraps of paper while sitting in the driver's seat of her parked car, a Ford she called Godiva.
And as the legend goes, Charles Dickens always kept objects on his writing desk in exactly the same position. He touched certain items three times each day for luck.
For the spy novelist Daniel Silva, workspace and routine are as essential as oxygen. Silva has been a fixture on the New York Times bestseller list over the past 8 years, with titles like The English Assassin and A Death in Vienna. His books are also top sellers in dozens of foreign countries. Silva's novels are carefully researched and usually set in exotic locales, but they begin in a decidedly mundane setting. Silva has claimed the lower level of his family's Washington, D.C. home as his private writing den. There's nothing on the walls, nothing on the desk, but there are some bare essentials, a phone, a lamp, a computer. He invited us inside for a rare look, to explain his approach to writing, a process he admits is maniacally methodical.
I'm not a writer that writes in huge spurts and waits for this creative thunderbolt. I mean, I'm a professional every single day, sit and write. And so I'm very much a creature of habit. You know, some people might call it a bit of neuroses, but and I come down at the same time every morning. I do the same routine every morning. I work for about the same periods every single day. And I just, habit and routine are very, very important to me, structure.
What time do you come down in the morning?
6.
Every day?
Straight out of bed, straight down. Noise is, I have a constant battle with noise, and so, you know, living in a city and writing I find difficult. And it's very quiet down here in the morning, those first 2 hours. I live next door to a school, and the man who mows the lawn of that beautiful sports field back there is my bête noir. I mean, he just drives me crazy. And so, you know, I try earplugs, and I try all other ways to mask the noise, but you know, those couple of really quiet hours in the morning are really my most productive periods of the day.
What about lighting?
When I'm working, it is very dark in here. I will close the shades. I have a couple of halogen lamps in here that if I need a little extra light, I can bring them up gently. There's recessed lighting in the ceiling. That they also have work on dimmers. And I just want just enough light to see what I'm doing and not anymore. You know, direct, intense sunlight is, I find, bothers me.
It's intrusive?
Intrusive. Or? It's glary, but it also makes it just more difficult for me to drift into the scene if it's too light.
Even if you're writing a scene, if you're in Nablus and it's
a bright
sunny day.
Yeah, I want it dark when I'm working. I keep it really pretty gloomy in here.
And the color of the walls, carefully chosen?
Very carefully chosen. A lot of my books are set around the Mediterranean. I'm fond of the entire region, and I just like those colors and textures. I was staying in a house in Provence a couple of summers ago, and just all the walls were of this creamy yellow color, and I just loved it and had a painter come in and try to recreate it.
What color is it?
I don't know. He worked. He just kept changing it. He created the color. We could never match it.
Yellows
again.
Are hard.
They are.
They turn sort of popcornish.
Yes.
And if you're not careful, they get a little bit green.
So he worked on this. He created it. So you can never find a matching color. The rug is seagrass. I love that brownish, coarse texture, and everything's just sort of in that Mediterranean, you know, creams and off whites and browns, and it's just colors that I find very soothing and creative. And like I said, the books are set so often in the south of France and Italy and Israel, of course, all Mediterranean countries. And so the colors play a role in helping me get there.
Not a lot of artifacts.
No artifacts. No Silva artifacts. No book covers and bestseller lists and things like that. I don't go in for that.
Have family members tried to foist that on you? To take your book jackets and have them beautifully framed and matted?
They know better. They know better.
And in the room, there's a big white overstuffed and quite comfortable couch.
It is extra long. I forget how many inches it is, but it
now
will,
is that because you're
it
tall?
Will accommodate my 6'2" stretched out horizontally. And when I talk to writers, we're all midday sleepers and nappers. To me, if I can get that half hour of just a little bit of a close my eyes, dream for a few minutes, it just refreshes you, and I can write again.
What point are you at in your latest book?
I'm in the frenzy trying to finish a first draft. I publish really about the last Monday in February every year. And so summers are really my writing time. And every June we go on a trip out west. My children are horse crazy, and we go to a ranch out there. And I end up staying in the cabin and working the whole week while they're off riding. But it is the most traumatic thing for me to try to pick up my book and my research and go someplace else. To me, I just really need to be in my little nest, very comfortable when I'm writing. I just crave it. And when I leave it, it causes physical anxiety.
Traumatic.
I don't like to walk away from my things, to walk away from my desk. I find it very difficult.
So do you try to recreate your space in another environment?
Absolutely. Push tables together to try to make something that approximates my own desk. Push chairs and couches around. Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting because you have to travel to do research for your book, and
right.
Your space is so important to you. Your space back at home. How do you balance that?
It's terrible. I can't. I certainly don't write. I didn't write when I was on tour this year. I can't do that. Can't do it.
Can't. Physically can't.
Can't.
Can't sit in a hotel room and pull out a notebook and...
I can put ideas and notes and thoughts and things like that, but I cannot sit and produce polished copy on outside of, you know, this place.
You've created this haven, but it sounds like you're a prisoner of your space.
I'm a prisoner of my space. Not inaccurate. I really am. It's comfortable down here. It's where I spend all day. With just a couple of little ventures outside to work out and to pick up my kids at school, and then it's back in here. So I spend the whole day down here. So it's just, yeah, I'm a bit of a prisoner of it.
Is the family allowed in this space, or is it?
It really bugs me. Yeah, it really bothers me. Yeah.
So this is really a special treat that we were allowed in.
Yes, definitely. I don't let a lot of people down here. It's important to me to have it be a private space.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much for allowing us to invade your space this afternoon.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Writer Daniel Silva in his home in Washington. You too can get a glimpse into Silva's workspace. Go to our website, npr.org. We'll have more in our series, Creative Spaces, next week.